education of our children doesn't begin and end at academia. There is a spiritual responsibility on each parent and teacher to nurture and train a young soul spiritually. This is called Chinuch. Join Rabbi G every Monday at 2 p.m. as he explores education and Chinuch for parents and teachers. Torah isn't education, it's transformation.
What a 1.9 Chatham Chai Chinuch for Rabbi G. We are back, as we do every Monday between 2 to 3, where we discuss Chinuch, we discuss education, we discuss everything we can learn about in order to make this world a better place, to make the place, the world we want to live in, influence ourselves, our families, our communities, etc. And we have a very busy show today, and I'm going to start with our first guest today very quickly. No introductions, nothing today, because as we all know, it is Mandela Day this week when we talk about good deeds and all the things that people are investing in and connecting between larger communities to the smaller communities. And one of the organizations that does incredible work out there is the organization called La Fica La Padiso, which is a community or organization. We'll hear more about it. And for that, we are speaking to the managing director of La Fica La Padiso, who is Roseanne Myberg. Good afternoon, Roseanne. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Okay, so just to get to understand a bit more, but before we go to the organization, tell us a bit about you so we get to know you.
So I am trained as a drama therapist, which is a wonderfully unique profession. We are registered at the Health Professions Council of South Africa, and we offer therapy in a way where we use drama, music, art as the language, as opposed to talk therapy. So it's a real exciting thing. At La Fica, I'm the managing director, and I also teach art therapy at the University of Johannesburg.
Okay, amazing. And let's hear a bit about La Fica and what La Fica does.
So La Fica is an organization that mainly trains people in a modality called community art counseling. And a community art counselor is essentially a lay counselor that can use art in a therapeutic way in groups. And we've trained over 500 people in South Africa who are doing different kinds of work with children, with adults, with elderly, but really specializing in how we work together in community, in groups. So their scope of practice is not to do individual work, but to work with people in groups. It's a grassroots operation.
Is group therapy and community group therapy different?
I think it's different words for more or less the same thing. What we really try and affirm is that this is not therapy, it's counseling. And we work with a wide range of other humans who help us, who we refer to. So we can do basic work as community art counselors, but we can't see people for diagnosable illnesses and things like that. But we definitely do some really interesting work in communities, in vulnerable communities. We are operational in the inner city of Johannesburg. We've got a satellite site in Chovicho that is based in Orange Farm, as well as in Snake Park in Soweto.
Wow. Okay. So let's talk about, you know, the work that you do and the reach out you do. Where is the area that you're needed in providing that service for the community? And when I say you're needed, I mean any informal help that is given in that outreach, you know, beyond school, after school, within the, it's kind of in between the family and the school, I'd say. Where does that place lead us to?
So I think what we're offering is after school programs. And what I've noticed is that it seems like, and this is not a judgment, but it seems like the Department of Education feels like a child stops existing when the school bell rings. And what we do is we fill the gap between going from school and going home to your parents' house. We offer children a safe space where they can come and express themselves, where they can learn together. We do a lot of psychoeducation. We've got lovely projects such as the Pepa Peers Project, where we teach young people around mental health first aid. That answers questions for them, like, what, how do I know if my friend is depressed? What do I do? How do I speak to them about their mental health? How do I address stigma in mental health so that people can get the help that they need?
I think that's a question we're all asking.
Yes. Yes, I think for sure that is a question for everyone. And a real big part of our work is destigmatizing mental health support. The communities that we work in is often very under-resourced, where children don't have access to many opportunities, many services. And through our work, we try and also engage social services to get children the help that they so desperately need. Part of the work also is to work with parents. And we have a wonderful project called the Parenting Skills Space, which is a bi-monthly engagement on WhatsApp, where we teach parents specific psychoeducational themed-based lessons every second Saturday on WhatsApp. It's a lovely closed group where you can join. It opens on a Saturday. We ask questions, we share information, and then we close the group again.
And is that
that's
something
been really a fun?
Okay. And the guidance of the parents is something that the parents are open to or seeking, or is it something that is the importance of it needs to be taught?
I think what became very clear through our work is that you can't work with a child in isolation. It doesn't help to offer a safe space and therapeutic support when sending children back to unsafe homes. And a lot of times a home is unsafe because a parent doesn't know better. So what do I do if my child is naughty in quotes?
I think that's a very important point.
So,
Roseanne, I'm going to stop you on this for a moment. What indicates a home being unsafe?
So, I mean, there are various ways of viewing an unsafe home. We work with children where unsafe range from neglect, where children are, for instance, kept out of school. They don't have access to what I would call basic human rights. There are some forms of discipline that we also address. So we know that in South Africa, it's against the law to do corporal punishment, yet there are very many parents who still engage in that. And we try to find a gentle approach to say, this is the way that you can speak to your child about their behavior that is not turning to physical violence. So that's part of unsafe. There are also homes where children are abused, where we engage social services and we report. But we're trying to intervene before it gets to reporting. Just helping parents see a different way of engaging with their children.
So let's
say
that
your child isn't naughty.
Now.
Their behavior is communicating something.
Okay, so they're trying to say something and they're feeling obviously stuck and unheard. What would be the opposite? What were the signs or what are the things that we can discuss to learn and achieve to make a home extra safe, to make a home extra welcoming, productive? You know, we're in holidays now and it's a time when parents do have a bit more time. Maybe grandparents have more time for their grandchildren. What can we do and what do we need to do to invest in our homes to make them more safe and more productive?
I think there is such a lovely term that comes from attachment theory, and it's called being with. And being with is spending time with your child, alongside your child, asking them questions about their lives, about their interests, about their, and you know, what they want to do, engaging them in decision making, but also playing with them alongside them. If they are playing on the floor, are you there with them on the floor or are you sitting on your phone on the couch? It's sometimes really simple things that makes a parent feel safe for a child. The idea is also for a parent that we would call a good enough parent, to be a safe haven where a child can run to when they're in trouble, but also to be the secure base where they can then go from to explore the world and come back and explore the world and come back again.
So it's not about the quantity of time, and your child doesn't need you to be on top of them all day, but they do need to know that they have a safe place to come to and speak and
yes.
connect, and that they are a priority for you as a parent. Okay, amazing. So we do need to take a short break. When we come back, let's go into a bit more the side that the community can potentially support you as an organization and see what comes, especially this is the time of year, although there shouldn't be a time of year for it. It should be discussed all year round. But we will take a short break and we will come back and dive a bit more into this.
Torah isn't education, it's transformation. This is Chai Chinuch with Rabbi G.
101.9 FM Chai Chinuch with Rabbi G. We are here with Roseanne Myberg, who is the managing director of La Fica La Podiso, an art therapist, well involved in that world. And right before the break, we spoke for quite a few minutes about all the amazing work that you're doing in communities that you are needed in and investing in those communities. And before the break, I asked you, what can we do towards a community? However, a question that did come in, which I think is a very interesting one, actually, and I'd love to hear your thoughts about it. So a question from one of our listeners is as follows. You know, we are used to hiring people to teach our kids in school. We are used to hiring people to help us in our home. And we are used to, you know, hiring anybody who needs to support us and what we need. So when it comes to giving attention to our children, when they are getting attention from the domestic worker, when they are getting attention and look having their needs met, is that different? And is that not allowing the child to realize that it's coming from the parents? Or they are able to understand, okay, my parents are hiring someone to support me, and they could take that role? Or I will add to that, what is the role of a domestic worker within the family from your point of view?
I think help should never replace parental attention, but it can be greatly supportive. I know a lot of people who have really good role models from people who are supporting their parents in childcare. But I think parents also need to be quite careful of who they allow into the lives of their children. Is the person that you're trusting with the well-being of your child trained in things like first aid? Can they support in the educational development of your child? Especially if we're looking at early childhood development, do they know how to stimulate your child to help them grow? Is it more than just babysitting? I think that is important. But I think children learn from adults and following behavior. So the people you expose your children to should align with your values and your morals and your way of being and the way that you want your child to grow up. So I would be very mindful of who I allow into my child's life. And I would be cautious in letting my child spend too much time with someone who isn't me as a parent. But I know life doesn't always work that way. But definitely, if your domestic helper in your home doesn't have any training, I would even go as far as sending them for some training in working with children, youth and childcare development, things like that would be greatly helpful and would also add to their CV should they have to find other work at some point in time.
Definitely extremely important. However, I would say that it seems to be that I think it would be a fair statement to say that your child will realize and will feel that if you're hiring help for them instead of doing it yourself, they are a burden to you. You're not really there fully for them, and they will feel it. So as a support system, yes, as helpers, yes. However, they can never take over the role of parents, even if it's they're coming from the parents, because a child needs to feel that a care and love and unconditional support from parents, with no doubt. As we're running out of time, I would ask you, Roseanne, what can the community give back? And what does La Fica Podiso need from us?
So we always have very many different ways that people can engage with and help us. At the moment, we are recruiting for new board members. People who are interested in human resources and fundraising can reach out and speak to us. We are looking for people who are able and willing to really get involved in the more strategic planning of the organization. But we also are in winter at the moment, and kids are cold. We need blankets, scarves, socks, warm clothes, secondhand clothes are absolutely fine. You can drop it off at our offices in Parktown. And then we have a volunteer training that happens 4 times a year. If you follow our social media accounts, you'll see that. You can invest in actually spending time with the children that we work with. We train people to become volunteers. They support in the after-school programs, and it's support like helping the facilitator prepare food, but also helping with other things. Oh, and speaking about food, we are always looking for donations of dry food or vegetables or meat. So donations with that regard would be more than welcome. The children that we are working with are hungry. Sometimes we feed them the only meal that they get per day. Wow. Yeah, that's just off the top that's of off my the head. Top.
Okay, and, so online, if anybody looks for you, what do you search?
Alifika Lapodiso. I can spell that for you.
Okay, go
it's
ahead.
Alifikalaphodiso.co.za.
And all the information of getting in touch is over there.
Yes.
Rosanne, thank you so much for being with us today, and thank you for the amazing work you're doing in the community.
Thank you for offering me this opportunity. I appreciate it.
Okay, have a good afternoon, and we will continue. Thank you, Rosanne. That was Rosanne Maybar, who is the directing manager of Lafika La Padiso. We are going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're coming with more topics, more discussions, and a lot more to discuss these days to see what we can do and grow and achieve in investing in our communities.